Hello and welcome once again to Podcast in the Woods. As always, I am your host, Boomer. And joining me is my wonderful and amazing co-host, Gabby. Gabby, how are you doing this evening?
You know, I do kind of feel a little weird. I'm not going to lie. When's the last time we recorded?
It's been a
Like
little
the
bit.
headphones, my hair still looks good. Nobody can see it. But I feel like I forgot how to put headphones on.
Yeah, I get that.
But
I
my
was
hair is still hairing, so we'll do it.
Hey, we'll do
That's
it.
my good side.
Well, one of these days we will release the video and
I
they will
can't wait for
see.
shit, but hi, boys.
They're gonna see how hideous I am and how amazing you look, but
There's a whole lot of makeup going on right now.
dreading that day. But well, it is coming. It is coming one of these days. We will actually I will put forth the effort and start dropping these, but not today. Not tonight. No. Okay. No.
Not tonight. Oh my God, Booms, look at you with your little transition.
Transition. Yeah. Here we go. King of the transitions. And
I am
yes,
obsessed.
I am super excited this evening because we do have a very special guest with us. It is the executive producer of the hit show Dragula, the wonderful and amazing demon dad and the queen of Twitch. It is Ian DeVogler. How are you doing this evening?
Oh my God, these accolades. Well, I mean, after that, how can I say anything other than I am doing amazing? I'm gonna
Ian,
steal
clip
a
that
couple.
hair.
Oh, I know that y'all can't see me, but my hair still looks good. My nails still look good. I'm not going anywhere. Not tonight. So I am feeling great. So honored to be here and just excited for tonight's little devilish viewing experience.
Oh, this is going to be a lot of fun because my favorite episode that Gabby and I ever did was Hellraiser.
Oh,
It
okay. You're
was
a pervert.
because I'm a pervert.
Okay, well, you know what? And we
Perv.
say that like it's a bad thing. Like, I am so ready for the perverted and perverse chat we're about to have.
This is going to be a lot
Gonna
of
tell
fun.
you all about how he just likes blood and maggots and fucking hell. Leviathan.
That yeah, Leviathan. What was it? Uncomfortable boners. I mean, there was a lot of stuff.
I think that if uncomfortable boners are the thing that you get from Hellraiser 1, then I feel like maybe like more comfortable skinless boners. Like it's like if you already get your foreskin removed, what happens after that? I'm like, that's what Julia is giving me.
You know what? My son was circumcised. I don't remember what a ween looks like after it's been circumcised.
Probably not great.
You know, I don't think that they, well, I know that there were a lot of cut scenes from Hellbound 2 or Hellbound Hellraiser 2. My guess is that the immediate post-circumcision dick is not one of the scenes that was cut, but you never know. You know, the cutting room floor may be just littered with circumcision blood. Oh,
If
God.
anybody knows what a post-circumcision wiener looks like, I would love to know. I was very medicated. I had a C-section, so the nurses were taking care of him for like days after it happened. So I don't remember.
There
I
you
just
go.
remember the salve. You had to use the salve.
Poster wiener on Twitter and no.
Wow.
You're
And
welcome. We're back.
remember to hashtag podcast in the wood. Oh, hashtag circumcised peen in the woods. And we'll rate and review them.
Exactly. All right. So, as we kind of already hinted at tonight, we are talking about the sequel to the seminal film Hellraiser. It is Hellraiser 2, Hell Harder, or Hellbound, whatever that is. And yes, I am excited to talk about this one. I had so much fun talking about the original. Ian, we have you here tonight, so this is going to be amazing. And we'll always like to kick it off with first time watches. And we will start with you, Ian, as our guest. The first time, maybe it was little Ian, back in Texas, or maybe you got to this one later. What was your first watch with Hellraiser 2 like?
Well, I gotta tell you, despite little Ian being a little hellbound Hellraiser in Texas, last night's Ian was actually my first time watching Hellraiser 2. So this was a brand new watch for me. I know, I know. So I've seen Hellraiser, I've seen some of the later sequels as well, and of course I have a huge love and admiration for Clive Barker, for the Cenobites, and just the Hellraiser series in general. And I had always heard that Hellraiser 2 was some people's favorites. And when I hear things like that, it normally makes me go, okay, well, wait. I don't know why, but I always put it off. And I think maybe I got my reason why, which is because I got to watch it last night. And my first impression is this is the most no plot having movie I have ever seen, and it is amazing for it. The effects are great, the dialogue is great, the writing, as I mean, gauze thin as it is incredible. I have so many like little cherry-picked moments that I can't wait to dig into, but as far as first impressions go, I was gagged. I love this movie.
That is
It's
awesome.
so good.
Yeah, when Gabby and I were watching this today, because when I was, yeah, I'm not gonna get into my first one. Well, you know what? I'll get
Yeah, get
into
into
mine
it. Come on, Boomer. Yeah.
since I'm already talking, and then Gabby, we will let you we'll let you the we'll save the best for last, and then we'll have you give yours. But
Okay.
my first time
Nice.
watch, speaking of Hellraiser, this episode is probably gonna be not safe for work. And there are a lot of people who enjoy this film more than the original. And I was one of those people for the longest time. And I don't know, maybe it had something to do with me at 13 years old, horny teenager masturbating furiously to the 5 second sex scene that's in this film.
Wow. Yes. It's expose tell all.
Ew.
Nothing like a little skinless sex on a stained, dirty mattress to really get it going.
Booms.
I mean,
My opinion is changing.
maybe it was that. Maybe it was that upped it on my preferences. But when I was younger, this was actually the first one that I watched. I watched this one first, and then it was a few. It was a little bit later, not too much later, but a little bit later. Or no. Hellraiser was the first one I watched. But then I completely forgot about it and watched this one, ended up enjoying it, and then I didn't come back to Hellraiser for like years and years and years. And again, like I hadn't seen this one in years. And it's funny that you talk about like kind of the writing and everything in this, because I remember really liking this one more than the original. And then Gabby and I were watching this today, and I'm like, there is a lot of silly shit that is in this movie. And
Yeah, it's goofy, it's campy, it's goopy, and it's gory, and I think that's sort of what makes it amazing, right? Like, it is beyond silly.
it's
Yeah.
just it's so like fever dream. It's just like ugh. But just a note, we didn't watch this like together like we usually watch the movies.
Yeah.
We just happened to start it together because I have my son, and I finally It's so weird, all of the reasons that you have to be strict with your children, that it was like all day I was saying, like, Corby, I have a very important recording tonight and I have to watch this movie. So at some point, I need you to occupy yourself. His name's Corbin. I call him Corby.
Aw.
His name is Corbin Burnson.
Oh, cool. I love all this lore that I'm getting. As a longtime listener and fan, this is absolutely, I'm here with my notebook and I'm like, okay, son is named after. Like, this is like, I'm loving this. This is my trivia deep dive from the inside.
When you're at the bar, they do podcast in the woods trivia. Question number one, who is Gabby's son named after? Question number two, why is Gabby so fucking mad?
Well, ding ding ding, I was there for that one. I remember it. I'm happy to be here.
A huge Psych fan, and I wanted to name him Corby, but my son's dad's, or I wanted to name him Henry, and my son's dad and I had friends who named their first son Henry, so we couldn't. We had, and I said, "Well, Corbin." I actually wanted
Cool.
George. I love the name George, and I don't care what anybody says. And Corby
I
would
was
be a beautiful
originally.
George.
My parents were going to name me Mitch, apparently. And I just, I'm not a parent. I don't have any desire to have kids, but I just think that you have to, and I think that you've done a great job of this, Gabby. You have to think about what are kids going to say about your kid based on their name. And I just know that I would have been bitchy Mitchy so fast. Kids are mean, kids are cruel, and I would have been. I was a tiny little F slur when I was younger, so I don't think that Mitch would have been very good for me.
I love that. I kind of experienced the same thing. Like, growing up, I love my name now, but growing up, Darius, it was dairy products, lattes, all kinds of stupid shit, and I'm just like, why couldn't you have just named me Glimpse, or something?
You're like, why can't you just name me Boomer? And now here we are.
Okay, so full disclosure, everybody, my name is Gabby on the show because I don't want to explain my name. My name is Gabriel, as in Gabriel, the male spelling. My nickname in real life is Gabe.
Really?
Yeah, I was named, if anybody in the universe is familiar with Peter Gabriel, the musician. I was named after him for the song Salisbury Hill.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was named Gabriel and I was nicknamed Gabe. And I spent my entire life being called gay.
Same. Gabby, I know how you
Yeah,
feel. I
yeah.
was right there. I was
Gabe,
watching
what are you,
Terrified of the
gay?
Plane.
Are you gay? Like, and it was just like, I don't know. I'm 12. What do you mean? I don't know anything. And it was just like, so I got that. I got there was a boy. Oh God, I won't give his last name. His name was Jesse. We had the same body type. He had long hair, and I had hair down to my ass until 7th grade. And the week before
Nice.
7th grade, my mom cut my hair finally, and I was so excited for the first day of 7th grade. I had my hair up to my shoulders, cute little blunt cut with little blunt bangs, and I was just little prepubescent, and I was just adorable, and I was feeling everything about myself. And I was walking down the hallway to my locker, and somebody behind me went, "Jesse!"
Did Jesse get a
And I
haircut
turned
too?
around and they were like, "Oh my God, Gabe, you really are a boy." And I was like, "No, I'm not. I'm really not." And it was, I hid in the bathroom and then I got
No.
my first period and it was just,
Oh my God, not this seventh grade
yeah.
nightmare.
Oh my God, I was a fucking Judy Blume novel, 7th grade. It was horrible. But yeah, no, I get names. That's why I call myself gay. Because people to this day will correct me. I will say, like, oh, well, what's your, oh, hi, I'm Gabriel. Honey, you mean Gabrielle?
Like, no,
Okay, sure.
bitch. I'm an adult. No.
I
Oh,
wasn't
sorry. Yeah,
aware. Thank
I actually
you.
don't know how my name is pronounced. It's only been my entire fucking life. Sorry.
Yeah, but sure, go right ahead. Yeah. But I always wanted to be a Gabby, and my mom always said no. I was just like, please let people call me Gabby so I'm not a boy anymore. Yeah.
Well, I
Yeah.
think that, here you are, Gabby, and it could be worse. I mean, you could be Tiffany from this movie, and I mean, not pain is relative, but I mean, I don't know, I feel like she's having a pretty rough seventh grade year too.
Oh, that poor Tiffany girl, that muted her. Her
Not
seventh
good.
grade said, click, you
Yeah.
can't talk anymore.
Her seventh grade wheeled her around and said, "Whoa, holy shit! Sorry, girl. Sorry." Ooh. Anyway.
Hey, let me introduce you to this wonderful doctor who will be taking care of you. It's going to be
Yeah.
great.
Please help my daughter.
Notice
Please help
everybody
my
was seeing
daughter.
everybody's versions of hell, and Tiffany's was fucking 7th grade.
Yep.
Any
Yep.
children who are listening to this, by the way, first of all, don't. And second of
Yeah.
all, fucking be nice.
Yeah.
Oh my
Exactly.
God. Yeah. Be nice. They're, ugh.
The
Kids
more
are
you
so, yeah.
know. Okay. Gabby. So now that we are all sharing, and I feel closer to everybody. What was your first time watch like with Hellraiser 2?
It was Joe Bob. Did I watch that
Oh,
with you?
no, not for the
Or
first
did I
time.
watch it on my own?
Yeah, you watched that. Yeah, no,
It
we
was
didn't.
whenever it was on Joe Bob. I can't remember. But yeah, that was the first time I ever watched it. And I remember watching it. Like, I couldn't remember the original Hellraiser because I'd watched it so long ago. And I think everybody knows gore's not my thing, so it wasn't anything that I was ready to revisit. And of course, you don't know what's going to be on Joe Bob, so you're like, whatever, I'll watch it no matter what. It's fucking Joe Bob and Darcy. I don't care.
Oh,
And
love them.
side story about Joe Bob, I sobbed like a little tiny little baby bitch when I met him and Darcy. And they're
Oh,
both 25 feet tall, and I barely
yeah.
scraped 5 feet. And it was the most humiliating experience of my life. And I have several pictures, and nobody will ever see them because my pages keep being
Oh.
red. And I looked like a little tiny little troll. But anyway, yeah, I watched it on Joe Bob, and I was like, huh, this is weird.
That's a that, I think it's a pretty apt description of watching Hellbound. Huh. This is happening. Like, oh, and now we're here. Got it.
Yeah, we've definitely said this before on this show with the movies that we covered. Oh, this is a movie. Somebody paid to film this.
That's woo,
Listen, my
yeah.
favorite thought in the whole wide world when I'm watching a movie that I'm not enjoying, my favorite thought to have is every single movie that's ever been made is at least one person's favorite movie of all time.
I'll be real with you, Gabby. That thought scares the shit out of me. Like, that is the scariest thing ever. Like that is like worse than like the call is coming from inside the house, or like the man or the bed is licking your hand. Like, it's like that thought shakes me to my core because I have seen, and I know we all have, you watch a movie and you're like, this is wretched. This is the worst movie ever. Not Hellbound, Hellraiser 2, because I love it, even though we'll get into it. But the idea that there are some movies that I've seen that are like, oh yeah, like this is Jeff Remote from Milwaukee. It's his favorite movie. I'm like, Jeff needs to be stoned in the street. Like, that this is like a
He
nightmare.
needs to be therapized. There are a lot of movies that I think, like, this is somebody's favorite movie. Fucking, what's the one? Infant Rape. What is it?
Oh, a Serbian
A
film.
Serbian
Serbian
film,
film.
yeah. It's
That's
so funny.
somebody's favorite fucking
As
movie.
soon as you said, what's that movie? I was like, it's gonna be a Serbian film. And yeah. Yeah.
And
And but
Sallow? Yeah.
Sallow is, God, yeah. But I mean,
Somebody
I
had a
actually
bad day today and came home and sat down to watch that movie to relax.
Oh, well, I have, I mean, I, and I also I love that you said, oh, we can do tangents, because I am the as my little demon brood loves to call me, I am the yap king. I love to yap. I just love to fucking talk. So I here we go, pull my string. My favorite horror movie is Martyrs, which
A good one.
if you haven't seen Martyrs out there and you're looking for something that's a real feel-good film, don't watch Martyrs. It's bleak, it's cruel, it's horrible, and it just like the same thing. It's like I sat down for the first time to watch and I was like, okay, I've heard this is a lot. And by like the end of it, I was like, I don't know how much more of this movie I can deal with. Like, this is like truly ruining my fucking day. And now it's like my favorite horror movie. But I think that for all those people who need to be therapized, I mean, I think I know a good doctor. Dr. Chouinard is looking for new patients.
He is very interested in how the
With some very weird tools as well.
He just opens skulls and then goes and checks somebody that just came. He's just, oh, new check-in.
Yeah,
Okay.
totally. Well, I love too. I don't know if we're jumping the gun and
And we
suggesting
could,
people,
go
but
ahead. Like, we just run with it. Fuck
we go
this.
all
Like,
over you.
yeah.
Fantastic. So I love how the movie opens with just a complete disregard for any level of medical safety, like medical practice. Like, he is like medulla oblongata deep in this patient. And they're like, hey, doc, we have something you might be interested in. He's like, oh, fuck this, whatever, bye. Okay. And then like goes to
Literally,
curse.
the scalp skin flaps are
Yeah. I
hanging
mean,
open.
like
No mask.
filleted. Oh, yeah. Oh, no, Matt. He's just flapping his gums, just talking. And then we're like, hello, Kirsty. I'm Dr. Chouinard. This is my assistant, Kyle. Goodbye, Kirsty. And he just leaves. And then it's just Kyle and Kirsty chilling. And then Kyle's like, well, I guess I'm gonna go too. I'm like, we did not need to be in this room at all. There's no reason why we're here. I love it. It's
It's so
ridiculous.
true.
Yeah, my favorite part of like that entire thing is like how he's doing. Yeah, like everything that y'all talked about is just absolutely ridiculous. But like as like he's philosophizing, I think that's a word. But he's
Yeah.
philosophizing in the middle
Make
of
it
like
one. Who cares?
this brain surgery, and he's like, yeah, according to Voltaire, I don't know what he says, but it's some like just ridiculous bullshit about like how the brain works and all this stuff, and like which again is stupid. But like the part that gets to me. Is when the camera pans over to Kyle and he's just like, yeah, this makes sense.
Totally. Well, and I wonder at that point, I'm like, we don't know really who Dr. Chouinard is at that point, which, if I'm going to give the movie any flowers in terms of its plot structure or narrative development, I do think that we are treated a little bit to, we have this doctor who's maybe, to use your word, he's philosophizing, maybe he's a little bit, use a text term, maybe he's a little highfalutin, maybe he's got lofty ideas or something beyond just medical science. And then we sort of get a larger peek into, oh, he's an occultist, he's the like full-blown psycho, got it. And I like that we sort of get this weird intro to him, especially after, the first thing we see is sort of like the birth of Pinhead. And I'm kind of like, oh, okay, like we've got bigger ideas going on. We've got more cooking in the brain this time around, I think. I think it's pretty obvious in this movie that the first one had, it was based on the story. Like it was, they tried to stay as close to the real Clive Barker story that they could. This one, they were like, let's just make it gross.
Yeah,
Let's just, the, people liked that the
fuck
first one was gross. Let's just be gross again. And more Cenobites.
it.
But only a little bit more. They really ration those bitches out to us.
They do. They do. I feel like when I watch the Hellraiser films, I feel, and I know this is not safe for work podcast, so I'm just gonna say it. I feel like I'm doing coke when I watch these movies. Like I'm like, I want more Cenobites. Like they give you a little bit of Cenobites, and then they're like, and now you gotta wait 30 more minutes, and then Doug Bradley's gonna come out and like, hey, oh, sorry, back in the shadows. I'm like, give me another line
Doug
of the
Bradley comes out and you
Cenobites.
start doing this.
Oh yeah, I'm ripping the bag open. I got it on my gums. Like, let's get going. But yeah, I feel
You've got
like,
it on the little thing right between your thumb and your forefinger.
oh, I'm getting crazy. Yeah, I'm like, I want to
Oh,
do
I know
like
that.
I want as much coke as they were obviously doing when they wrote this movie. Like, that's the level that I want to be at.
Preach. Or mushrooms. Mushrooms, probably.
Oh,
Ooh. Yeah, you know, it'd be a great idea. Like we're going to start in this hospital, and then what happens after that? Oh, we're just going to hell. We got to go to hell, and then what happens? Frank's there. Frank's got to be there because he was there
And then just, and
the
then all practical sets. We're gonna rip the walls open, which
Every
I
time you say
actually am.
Leviathan, somebody has to glow orange.
Yes. I will say that, like, in terms of the effects of the movie, and I love to just kind of jump around like this. Like, I think that one effect that they used a lot in the first one that I don't love is that sort of, it's kind of classic 80s. Like, almost looks like they're like painting on top of the film. The sort of like the lightning effects. They use it so much in the first one, and it comes back in the second one. But I feel like it's almost like a throwback there because I think that the second one, kind of to your point, Gabby, I just feel like they said, hey, what made the first one great? And even though the first one is great for a lot of reasons, they were like, oh, we love these like gory effects, so let's do it 100 times over. There is so much blood and guts and ass in this movie. It is incredible. Woo!
Ass,
Ooh.
skinless ass.
Oh my God, when Julia's skinless ass coming out of the stained bloody mattress, wow, I'd kill for an ass like that.
Hello, and hello. That when you lose your skin, you do not. I think that we should all. This is a PSA. Welcome to Podcast in the Woods. The more you know,
Oh,
booms. You can sing it if you want to.
the more
Apparently.
you
When you're dragged to hell and they
know.
take all of your skin away, you still keep your areolas.
Which I think is really nice. I think that that is a consideration that some hotels don't give you. You check into like, the ninth circle, and I mean, the first thing they take is, hey, hand those nips over, bitch. But here in the Leviathan realm, when you're here,
Wow.
you're family. You get to keep your areolas.
We do have muscly nips in this one.
Oh yeah. Oh
They
yeah.
were still perky. They were still fab.
Oh yeah.
Julia's got a great fucking body, that bitch.
Yeah,
I know.
she really does. Like, oh, I love Julie. And so, okay, so this brings me back around to one of the things that I wanted to ask you guys. So in the first film, it's very compact. Again, like Gabby, like you were saying, it's based on the story, so it's just kind of following along those beats, and Clive Barker just adapts this, his book, which is incredible. If you haven't read it, please read that. The novella is amazing. But in this one, we have, who is the antagonist here? We have Julia. We have Frank that shows up playing, I mean, Kirstie's dad. We have Dr. Jannar. We have they're like
Some daddy
Pinhead is kind of
now.
an anti-hero, but he's still kind of an asshole in this. Like, what the fuck is going on? Like, was this something that kind of, took this film down for you? The amount of antagonists, or, were you fine with it and just kind of rolled with it?
This is a really easy movie to like have so much going on and still be like, yeah. This is great. Like you're watching it and you're like, wait. Okay, so yeah. Love it.
I
Keep
agree with that.
going.
I think also for me, I really love the excuse me. For me, I really love the lack of a defined antagonist in this film because I feel like it sort of positions Kirstie as sort of the only good in the world, in a world where we have the Cenobites who are obsessed with, pain and pleasure and sadomasochism, and then you have sort of everyone who kind of comes in touch with them is either desiring that level of power or madness, or is just in it for their own skin. And then you have Kirstie, who is sort of thrust into this world. I feel like it positions her as lawful good, and everyone else is, it's a chaotic evil world. And it makes it really easy to root for her as a protagonist when everyone else is a complete megalomaniac asshole, and all they want to do is just follow their own desires. It is interesting though that you say, there's no real antagonist, because I think that when we think about like horror icons, we think of Freddy, we think of Jason, we think of all these sort of classic villains, and then we put Pinhead and the Cenobites in there too. But the Cenobites, at least in my opinion, I don't think the Cenobites really are evil necessarily. They're just kind of hanging out. Well, hanging on the chains and hanging out. But they're just kind of like, hey, you want to get fucked up? Cool, so do we. Like, they're just sort of like in it for their own pleasure, which I don't know. I think the Cenobites did nothing wrong.
No, I totally agree with you.
They are who they are.
I love that line in the first film. We're angels to some, demons to others. And it just goes to show that, like, they're honestly, they're not the bad guys, and that's why Julia and Frank, like in the first film, are the antagonists. And like the Cenobites are just kind of there. They're there if you want them, and that's like an incredible. Although, like Jannar, I believe I said his name right, is kind of the
Kennard,
antagonist.
Gunnard, here, I think it's a
Jannard.
word. I don't know.
I think it's CH, so
So,
Chunard.
Jannard.
Yeah, but well, one thing, I had to watch the movie with the
Fuck
subtitles
asshole.
on.
I mean, fucking
Yeah, I think that's
weirdo. I the
paging
doctor fucking
Doctor.
weirdo.
Yeah, paging Doctor Fuckface. Like, hey.
Okay,
Paging
so.
doctor, kill your patients for fucking BDSM, bitch.
How is he gonna explain that? Like, oh,
That
and
was in the
hey.
days of back pages. Just go find a fucking hooker. Why are you taking your patients away?
Well, I think that Julia and Dr. Chouinard, they get a Craigslist account after the first patient. He's like, maybe I shouldn't be kidnapping my patients. Maybe we'll just find some down on their luck Frankenhookers, and we'll just bring them into this weird room.
The
Yeah.
reason that Craigslist personals RIP.
And honestly, and so when you go back to like who is the real antagonist, it's definitely Julia and Dr. Chouinard, because, RIP Craigslist.
Which, I mean, kind of brings me into like my next point. So the first film has all these iconic lines, we'll tear your soul apart, and all that stuff, like so many iconic lines. Is there any iconic lines in this film?
Oh, Boomer, I could not be. I feel like you wrote this question for me because abso-fucking-lutely. And here it is.
Am dancing right now.
Okay,
Tell.
so it's when Julia and Kirsty reunite for the first time, and Julia goes, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but it's basically this. She goes, "Oh, hello, Kirsty. You didn't know they rewrote the rules of the fairy tale? I was once just the wicked stepmother, but now I'm the evil queen. So step on up and come get some, Snow White." And then she just backhands the shit out of Kirsty. I'm like, this is drag, honey. Like, this is like drag queen camp dynasty. Like, there's no reason for her to say that at all. Like, at all. I'm like, this is so iconic.
Did you just say dynasty?
Yeah, it's total
Okay.
dynasty.
It's so dynasty. And I, okay, the entire time I was watching today, all I could think, because you know, Julia had that fucking 80s triangle fucking
Yeah.
shoulder padded, pencil skirted look in the first film. But then she comes back with this long, curly, and she had those big ass earrings and that. Listen, girl,
Oh
Julia,
yeah,
you
the
are
over the
fucking
shoulder.
stunning, breathtakingly beautiful. That dress, you should have said something to the wardrobe department. That did nothing for you. But that's okay. What I'm saying is, she came back full on glamour and she was Joan motherfucking Collins with the
Yes.
earrings
Oh
and
my
the
God.
big curly hair and the soft makeup and the dress. And I thought about that. I kept saying the entire time I was watching today, Dynasty in hell, bitch.
Absolutely. And I feel like even the way, I don't know if it's a conscious decision on her part or the director, but every line is delivered with this sort of, I mean, really, like, I'm the queen of hell. And oh, everything is said sort of like this. And it's just there's like really this level of just sort of nose in the air fabulousness that I feel like we get a lot of that with our villains, you know, whether it's we get Freddy, who is just sort of ridiculous, or you know, any villain that talks kind of needs to, even like Doug Bradley, you know, has that really booming voice, and he sort of speaks like this. And so I think that they really elevate Julia to, I mean, like we're saying, like dynasty. Yeah, I love that. And then the other thing, Boomer, too, it's not a spoken line, but I think I would be remiss if I didn't mention the I am, or what is it? I'm in hell, help me, on the wall, which I just think is, it's an iconic visual from the franchise. Like one of the most enduring visuals, I think.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's terrifying. It doesn't make any sense as far as the canon is concerned, but it is.
Doesn't it?
No, it really doesn't. Like
It's
how
her
the
dad, right?
no, that's Frank. Frank is
It's Frank. Yeah, it's Frank cosplaying as
acting
her
like her
dad.
dad, though,
Yeah,
right?
but I mean, you have to either be
Oh, who
summoned.
cares? This movie doesn't make any fucking. They didn't want
Exactly.
it to
Oh,
make
I know.
sense, and
I'm
it
like, now
didn't.
let's be
Yeah, I'm not gonna sit here and
real.
fucking psychoanalyze Hellbound. Like,
Well, I think too, yeah.
this would be
Actually,
like.
according to paragraph three, no.
Yeah, well, actually.
The Reddit sub page,
Oh,
Hellbound,
here we go.
Hellraiser 2, back in 2019, user I eat farts 6969 said that, yeah, we're
Wait,
not gonna do that.
how did you know my Reddit username?
I
That's
stalk you.
Oh, that's wow. Oh my God, I got a lot of really foul stuff on there. I gotta clean that out.
What I love about like this film and the lines in this film, especially when it comes to Pinhead, like this is even from like the second film, because there are so many iconic things, so many wonderful lines that Pinhead, and I know that they all hate that, you know, especially Clive Barker hates Pinhead, but we're just, for the sake of clarity, we're going to say Pinhead. He has so many iconic lines, but even starting in this film, it's starting to become like more subdued. You know, and as you go along, like in the franchise, it gets worse and worse and worse. But I just love it. Like, one, how the shit that he says, like, doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And two, it's just like he's kind of already phoning it in a little bit. You know, it is an iconic line to me whenever Schnard and Julia They summon
You sound
him.
like you're having a stroke.
Whatever they summon him. And you know,
Keep doing it.
Pinhead's just like, it's not hands that summoned us. It's
It's desire.
desire. And then, you know, and then they look
Yeah.
over to the mirror and they've all like Julia and Sinard have already like kind of fucked off. And he's like, oh shit, who left the back door to hell open? How many times do we have to do this? Guys, we've got to
Yeah.
talk about this.
I actually love that. That made me laugh out loud because, like, he said that line. I turned around. I baked a cake today. I turned around to grab my flour and it was a vegan carob cake with peanut butter frosting. Thank you and good night.
Oh my
But I
God.
turned around to get my frosting and sugar canisters. And when I turned back around, it was just Pinhead walking away. And I was like, wait, did I miss something? And I rewound it and I was like, no, you just said that and walked away.
It makes me think about the pinheads. It makes me think about the Cenobites and their sort of amorphous power levels, I think. Like I think that, you know, from the first film to this one, and then all the way up to the latest reboot of the franchise. I think that it's a favorite thing, but it's also a gripe that I have with the franchise, is that they sort of ill-define the power levels of everyone. Because sometimes Pinhead is summoning chains that are just ripping people in the asshole and just fucking people up. And then other times, they're walking. Like they are just like, ooh, they're having a sale at Hot Topic, and we gotta get these belts, honey. Like, we gotta walk across the mall. And I'm like, didn't y'all just like interdimensional travel here? Like, shouldn't you be teleporting? They're like, no, like, you know, Chatterbox has gotta break these fucking new demonia boots in. Like, we really gotta walk. I'm like, what is happening? Come on.
Love the banality of it that,
Yeah,
like,
right?
these are such like representations of evil, and it's like, oh, you want to get hurt? We'll hurt you. How do you want to get hurt? Damn. How you doing? I'll
Yeah, they're
hurt you.
like,
I'll do
but
whatever you want. I'll chew your fucking dick off with my little chatterbox. But at the same time, they're
oh
just like, well, I gotta go over there.
no. They're like, well,
It's
yeah.
just
They're like,
like,
oh, it's a,
this
sorry,
is
actually.
hell. You get your pleasure, but you also have to walk 3 miles to get to the next destination. That's what it
They're
is.
like, you know, female Cenobite does want to show you like carnal pleasure infinite, but also we gotta fill up the parking meter. So sorry. I
Yeah.
think
It's so good
It's
because,
such a great dichotomy. I fucking love that about them.
yeah, like, you know, yeah, there are times that he just cannot be bothered. I love it. You know, they have this big back and forth for, you know, with Kirsty. It's like, oh yeah, you summoned us before, and you know, and now like we showed up or some shit. I don't remember what he says. But then, you know, they kind of like block her with the chain, and then he's just like, you know what? Go ahead
Just go.
and take your tour. It's like,
Well, I
what?
feel like Kirstie should
Yeah.
have said, like, he was like, you fooled us before. She should have said, like, nah, bitch, I got fooled. You did, don't put this on me now. You did this. Don't you tell me about your
Yeah.
fucking puzzle box. And then you're gonna tell me that you fooled my fucking ass. I didn't want any of this in the fucking first place. And here I am again with a fucking girl who won't fucking talk to me. But apparently is supposed to be my fucking savior. And then I'm back here with my fucking evil ass stepmother, and now she's fucking cute again. And she's still fucking cuter than me, even though I have her lips. And I am telling you guys right now, Kirstie's fucking mouth is one of the most perfect female mouths I've ever seen in my entire life. She was cute as a fucking button. She deserves everything that she's ever gotten from this. But I'm telling you right now, Julia. She had that danger.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I think that, you know, they when you arrive in hell, they're like, hey, what's your type? You either get Julia or Christy or Kirsty. Actually, I have to say my thing here. I said this on another podcast, but I hate Kirsty's name. I hate
It's
it.
stupid.
I'm
Sorry,
like,
Kirsties of the
cut.
world.
Yeah, every Kirsty who's out there listening, I don't hate you. I hate your parents for naming you Kirsty, because what the fuck, man? Like, it Christy or like it's like Christy or Kirsty or Kirsten or Chris. I'm like, oh my God. Like I just like ever since I was a kid, I knew a Kirsty and she sucked. So Kirsty, if you're listening, I hate your parents and I hated you. I don't hate you anymore, but it's fine.
I mean, Kirstie Alley,
Oh,
rest in
well,
peace, but you kind of went
RIP.
crazy and you should have been a
Yeah.
Kirstie Alley. You looked like a Kirstie. At the end, you looked a little crusty. Ooh. Again, rest in peace.
Oh,
Sorry, girl. Listen, don't get on your Scientology Trump bullshit and then try to tell everybody that we feel bad for you. Sorry. You didn't have to lose your sanity. You didn't.
wow.
Good for her on that Jenny Craig, though, and Dancing with the Stars. She was fantastic. Lucas
Yeah.
Jogging is one of my favorite movies of all time. I don't give a fuck.
I
However,
think it's gonna be
I'm
our next review together. We'll be that.
look who's talking.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what's
So
really scary? Unplanned pregnancy, you know.
she planned that shit, Booms. Did you never see it?
I've seen it once like 20 years ago, so I do not remember
Mmm.
anything about that damn movie.
Happy Valentine's Day,
Walked right into that
I literally bought it on DVD like 7 months ago.
one.
That's how much
Oh, God.
I love it. I had to have a hard copy. Yeah.
All right. Well, I mean, well, let me ask this question. This is kind of completely out of the blue and off topic. Well, not off topic, but a little bit out of the blue. So we have the puzzle box. How good are you guys at puzzles? And so would you ever be able to open this realm up? And we'll start with Ian this time.
I will be the first to admit I'm a workbook person. I did workbooks every summer as a kid. I love to read, I love to learn. I am atrocious at puzzles. I'll get frustrated and I'll throw it. I'll be like, I'm not doing this. And I think it's not, well, luckily, it's not hands that open the box. It's desire. And I got a lot of that. I think I would probably summon the Cenobites through sheer force of like mental will. Because if you have to also open the box, this pussy is never getting torn open. I'll tell you that. Like those chains are staying virginal. It ain't happening for me. What about y'all? Are you good with your fingers?
Right, Gabby, we'll turn it to you. What about you? Are you getting this
I don't
box
know,
open?
am I? No, I fucking get the fuck out of here with your fucking puzzle. Give me a fucking word problem. I don't know. I'm not knit, switch, switch, click, click, boom, boom. No, I don't care. I don't care. It's not doing anything for my life. The fucking 1,000-piece fucking fast food picture puzzles that you put in a frame on your coffee table and you work on it for some, I don't give a fuck. I have other things to do. I have to clean. I have work. I have a full-time fucking job and a child and a life. No, I don't do a puzzle. I don't. My life is enough of a fucking unsolvable fucking mess. I don't need all of this on top of it. I'm never going to hell strictly because I don't give a fuck about your fucking boxes. Hi, Pinhead. Love you. No, never gonna meet in person.
What about you, Boomer? Do you feel like I guess if the three of us were the patients who were, in like the end of the movie where there's like all the patients on the beds and they all get their own, like you get a puzzle box and you get a puzzle box. Are you the one that's gonna like summon it for the three of us? Or like what about you?
No, I wish I would. I've never solved a Rubik's Cube in my entire life, so I
Oh
am
no, honey.
that is not my thing. Like, yeah, I would be the guy that goes to the market. What's your pleasure, sir? Give me this box. Let me find some new shit to do. And then I'd be just sitting there like twiddling with it for like the next 5 years, not opening it, and Pinhead's just gonna be in the next dimension, like, God damn it, Boomer. Just fucking turn it to the right, Boomer. Turn it to the right and then push down. God, you stupid fucking idiot. Just push it down.
But don't you think that like isn't that very like Cenobite pleasure? Like they're just I mean, imagine like the Cenobites are just they're edging for that 5 whole years. They're like, oh, someday. I mean, they're just areolas rubbed raw. Like, oh, someday Boomer's gonna open that box and then we're gonna be ready there. We're all ready for him. But It never opens.
No.
It's just gonna start collecting dust. Like, got other stuff to do.
Just blue balls for the rest of my life.
Wow. For some people, that's hot.
All right.
It true that that's painful?
I don't know about painful, but it's frustrating.
I think that when you get to that stage, the lines of pain and pleasure become blurred, and even in hell, your suffering is legendary or whatever the fuck Pinhead said.
Whatever the hell that was. All right.
Exactly.
So
I've never given blue balls. I put out on the first date. Mwah.
Hey.
Hey, y'all. No, that's not true.
All right. So what is your favorite? We'll get into our likes and dislikes, and then we get into our ratings, because I think we've done a pretty good job of either, well, one, of talking shit, and two, of still giving this movie its props, because it is a lot of fun. So hey, I
It
know
deserves
we
all of the love.
yeah, I
Absolutely. Don't
know
get us wrong.
exactly, like, well, I know we've talked a lot of shit, but I mean, this film is still a good time, and deserves to be watched. But what's your favorite, and we'll go to Gabby this time. What's your favorite scene in the film?
So Julia comes out of the mattress to Maggot Boy, which, by the way, I've only seen one and two. I don't know about the rest of them. Enough with the fucking maggots. I
Oh,
don't
they
need that.
love a maggots. They
They
love
love a
it.
fucking maggot. I'm over it, and I don't need that in my life to progress as an adult, okay? I don't need that. Thank you, Hellraiser, but bye. But when she comes out and she's like her whole skinless self, which, by the way, I feel like her voice doesn't sound like her voice until she gets skin back. But anyway, that's just me. But when she like comes out and Gennard, Chouinard, Fucktard, I don't give a fuck, Pop Tart, whatever, shit tart, I don't fucking care. Whatever, however the fuck we pronounce his name, which, by the way, the picture of Pinhead as a human in the military uniform, my first thought when I saw that, because I've been watching a lot of World War II stuff, was like, oh, that guy
He's
was a
an.
fucking Nazi.
I thought the
That's what
same
I thought.
thing. Oh my God. No,
Too.
Gabby, I was like, oh, wow. I thought they were going to, because having not seen the second one, I thought they were about to reveal that part of Pinhead's legacy was, oh, he was a Nazi, or, he had done war crimes or something. I was like, oh, wow. Like, this is a lot of plot development. And then nothing.
Yeah, Dr. Shittoe turned out to be like a fuck. That's what I thought. But anyway, so he's just like, oh, and Kyle's like, ew, this is weird. I'm 3 feet away, but I'm not gagging. I'm just gonna leave. And then so that happens. And then the next scene that we see in this all white, very
Oh.
obviously cheaply built set with the so late 80s, early 90s fucking decor, and I love it. And bring it back. I'm not talking shit. I'm just saying, bitch, you know that you don't have any skin. Why are you walking around on his white rugs, putting your hands on his white walls?
Oh,
But like,
yeah.
she comes back, and it's like he walks into the room, and they're like having this weird discussion, and she just picks up the wine. She takes a drag of the
Yeah.
cig and she's like, bitch, it's ho o'clock.
Yes.
Here we
Yes.
go. I'm your hellhole.
Absolutely.
Let's do this. And I am not a fan. I lie. I lie. I don't care. She's the bad guy. I'm the biggest fan of Julia. Bring Julia back. Julia forever. I love her. I love her. He puts the fucking ace bandages on her and she says, you know what? I'll mummy for you. You better give me a gown. And he did. And she wore that shit. And she was everything. I don't care. She said, I don't care how many circles I go down. I'm still the hoe of the week. And I love that for her.
We stan a queen who knows what she wants, honestly.
Hoe it out, bitch.
Yeah,
Love
it's
you.
hella clock. It's hella clock.
It's
Yeah,
hoe
I mean,
o'clock.
you have You've taken my absolute favorite sort of section of the movie. I think that when Julia comes out of the mattress, it sort of is the time where the film says, okay, we've teased you enough, like let's get going. And the display of the self-harm and self-mutilation of the patient leading to the mattress opening and the maggots and the gore, it's just so over the top. And then they really bring it to 10 where Julia is in the white suit with the bloody I'm like, oh, that's amazing. But if I had to give a second option, it's another Julia moment, except until it's not. It's when Julia is saving Tiffany. She's like, oh, you take my hand. And then her arm literally starts to fall off. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. This is crazy. What is this? But then cut to face reveal. It's Kirstie wearing Julia's skin. And that's kind of the moment. I mean, it's almost like the end of the movie, but I just was like, this movie has now gone completely off the rails. In the franchise, we've had two instances of, I am just going to full on, like, you know those guys who have that weird, not I'm not gonna say weird, but you know those guys who have that fetish where they like wear the full body silicone doll suits. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah.
I'll
If
call it
not,
weird, guys.
not weird. I like, listen, I'm not gonna
Bless
yuck anyone's
you.
yum.
Okay.
If you're out there wearing a full silicone latex suit of like a sex
You'll
doll,
find someone, guys.
yeah,
Love
here, you know,
you.
my email is, no, I'm just kidding.
But.
But I just thought it was so weird and so strange, and it just really, I think, goes, it takes the movie to a completely new dimension of pain and pleasure, and I just love it. I think it's great. What about you,
Here's
Boomer?
my
What's your
thing,
favorite?
though. I have a thing.
Oh, go.
What they do when Kirstie peels off Julia's facade or whatever, it does the thing, and this is a, and Booms, we've talked about this a million fucking times on and off the show, and you know exactly what I'm gonna say. Okay. So you decided that you were going to put, and you still did the ring.
Oh yeah.
A
Yeah,
clean, I mean, come on. You have blood and viscera
all
all
over
over your
you.
fucking body. But you
Yeah,
just
you
got to
know,
get that ring. But you still have your mascara on. Come on now. We know you.
I think that you are absolutely right, Gabby. And I think that that is, it's honestly, it's an industry-wide gripe, and it's something that it's like, oh, we have to make sure that our final girl looks good, which I get
I don't
it.
want
I
her to look
get it.
good.
I know I want them to look fucked up. I'm like, you just went to hell. Like you should look like you went to hell and back. But she peels
Quite
that face off and
literally.
she's like, ding, Colgate commercial. I'm like, mama, like, this
I
is
chose
your
this
mute
shade of
best friend.
blood to match my cheekbones. Yeah.
Yes.
Sorry, Booms. Sorry,
Yeah.
Booms. Go
No,
ahead. I'm
you're
sorry.
fine. It's a perfect
I
L'Oreal
mean, I
commercial.
can't.
Like, you've been to hell, but you look fantastic. No.
Maybe she's born with it.
Exactly.
Maybe it's hell hose.
Maybe she's born with it, or maybe it's her stepmom's skin suit. I don't know.
So, you know, just to piggyback on both of yours, yes, like the best scene to me is the one where the patient is harming themselves, because it's one the scene that like forces you to say, okay, are you horror enough to watch this? Because it is disturbing as fuck. But like we've already talked about that, so I'll kind of piggyback on what both of you said, because I think it's hilarious in its own way, is when Kyle shows up with Kirstie to the house, and they're searching around for the box. And then he sees Julia, and he knows, like, he's experienced this. There's been some fucked up shit in this house, and he's in this room of corpses, and he thinks it's a good idea to make out with this random woman, and everything's going to be fine.
Yeah.
When he obviously has a crush on Julia, which also to piggyback on that, Booms, another thing, he follows Julia into that room. Julia walks ahead of him. He didn't notice. She's still missing half her fucking back.
I know. I'm like, so I think situational awareness is something that pretty much everyone in this film lacks. It's like everyone
Kyle
just
said, "I'm
moves.
getting some vagina."
Kyle said, I don't know. That speech that Dr. Chouinard gave at the beginning really got me thinking that I could use a little brain right now. I think I could
When people call head brain. It makes me so happy. It's so weird. I don't know why.
it is
Anytime somebody
truly
says
weird.
brain, I'm just like, yes, that. I don't have a penis, but I'm happy for you. You have brain. I don't know why.
I feel like that's such a great quote. I don't have a penis, but I'm happy for you. And I think that the world would be a better place if more people adopted a similar mentality. Like, I don't know what that's like, but if you like it, I'm happy for you, Kyle.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what we're about on this show. Yeah, you just be you and we love you for it. But
Love that dick.
Yeah,
Love it.
all right, so we'll get
Giving
into
while
our
receiving.
oh my God. Okay, so we'll get into our final thoughts and our ratings. And as always, we start with our guests. So any final thoughts? And on a scale of 1 to 5, what are you
Ooh.
rating Hellraiser 2?
I think that in terms of final thoughts, I want to say that Hellraiser 2 is not a film for everyone. It is, it's extreme in a way that I think can turn a lot of people off. But I say this about some of my favorite movies. It is not a film that I can recommend to everyone, but to the people that I can recommend it to, I recommend with my whole entire flayed chest. I think that Hellraiser 2 is fabulous. I think that it is over the top. It's ridiculous. It is exactly the type of horror movie camp that I personally love. Sometimes horror and comedy don't mix for me, but I love when horror is unintentionally funny. And I just find Hellraiser 2 to be so endearing and also such a great example of what makes special effects so wonderful. We get so many goopy and gory and just gross looking moments that really make the genre shine. I love Hellraiser 2. It's not a perfect film. I think that it's easy to poke holes in it, but it's infinitely more fun to give yourself over to the mix of pain and pleasure. I would give Hellraiser 2, or give Hellbound Hellraiser 2 4 hooks out of 5.
Nice. That's very respectable. I like it. Somebody comes on here and
Wow.
enjoys a film that
Hey, I you know
I've
what? You gave me, I'll give a little bit of the behind the scenes production tea. Boomer offered me a pretty extensive list of films and a lot of great options. And there's another film on that list that I'm very excited. I hope I get asked back, fingers crossed. But
Definitely.
when this was one of the options, I said,
What
you
is
know what?
it?
I don't know if I can say it because it might be when it's like coming up. But
Okay,
yeah.
when we turn off the recording. Yeah, I want to know.
Yeah.
I want to know. Okay, go
But
ahead.
so yeah, when you asked me, you know, what films I wanted to watch, I was like, you know what? Like, let me pick something that I know is a little bit polarizing and sort of see where I fit on it. So I'm really happy with the suggestion. I loved it. I'm just excited to be here. I'm just a fan.
Nice.
Oh
And we love you. All right,
my
Gabby. All right, Gabby, final thoughts and rating on Hellraiser 2 for you.
I feel like we did not touch upon the fact that the final scene of this movie is the movers, and that fucking hog who's like, whose house is this in his fucking Queens accent? And he goes up to the mattress and he's like, what the fuck's on
Oh,
this fucking
yeah.
mattress? I'm just gonna fucking put my finger in this fucking mattress. I'm gonna put it in my fucking mouth. What the fuck, you fucking pig? What, and now you're upset that you're in hell? Why would you put your hand on an obviously bloody man? And first of all, bitch, you didn't know what happened. This wasn't on the news. He was a very prominent local doctor who, I'm assuming people are just saying he disappeared with a bloody mattress in his fucking attic, and the cops didn't take that. But they did take it from the first house and take it over to the doctor's house. But they're not going to take it out of the doctor's house. They're going to have the fucking movers take the fucking bloody mattress out of it. Come on now. A. And B, who walks into a room with a mattress that has chains coming out of it and a mysterious red liquid just coagulating all over it? And you're going to go over to it and you're going to go, The fuck is this? Oh
I
my
think of
God, I'm
that.
in hell. What?
I just feel like that's like
Oh
a that's like the most true part of the movie, though, is that like straight men especially, but men are pigs. Like
I know
men are
that's
just
right.
gross. Like I don't now I'm not gonna say that I would be, you know, like knuckles deep in this mattress, but there have absolutely been times where I have walked into a guy's house and been like, I shouldn't be here. This is dangerous. I'm taking my pants off. Like, I get it. Like, I guess I get it.
I can't laugh anymore. I have to pee. I'm about 40 minutes from lit, so I just really have to like, whew, we got this. Anyway, my score for this movie, I give it a solid 3.5.
Ooh,
I
okay.
do. It is nowhere near my wheelhouse. I don't love the gores. I don't love the nonsensical get who gives a shit plot. There is something about Hellraiser. I'm Swifting. I love you. And I don't know why. I mean, Hellraiser is my reason for watching the Super Bowl. I just
Wow.
stan and I don't get it. I don't get it. And it doesn't make any sense. And it doesn't fit in my life. And it's not something that I wear on my sleeve. I love, I've only seen the first two and the remake, by remake, but the first two I love and I can't, I don't know why. But yeah, 3.5. And I think part of it is I'm such an 80s girl. I hate a slasher. I hate the gore. I hate the over the top. I hate anything like that. But if it was made in the 80s,
I feel like there are some
it's my chicken
passes.
soup.
Oh, I
Yeah.
feel that. And Gabby, I think that we need to have like an off-camera conversation or maybe another conversation, another episode, because I am in the I'm not a slashers kind of girl either. Like I love a psychological thriller. I love it understated. I love it bleak. But there is, you're right, that there is something about this movie and about this franchise too. And I think there's almost like a nostalgia to it because when I think about,
Yes.
yeah, it's like when I think about the Cenobites and I think about the lore and the sort of the mythos, even that we have, you know, culturally with them, I'm like, oh my God, they're so hot. And they're so cool, and they're so this. And then I watch the movie, and I'm like, "You're at the mall, like straight up, you're at the mall." But like, I can't help but love it. And I do think that there is a little bit of a like you're saying, like I'm not 100% sure why I stand so hard, but I do, I do.
You do. It's just, it's so good. It's so good, but so not here. You know, like it's just, oh God. Okay, Booms, we haven't heard from you yet. Please tell us.
Oh my God. I
All right.
thought that I thought that that Gabby was gonna say, I already know your opinion, so and it was gonna say something like completely like override it or something, but the fact that it's I have to pee is honestly iconic.
That tends to happen. I mean, we have not been, or we have been known to be, oh, a little bit inebriated when we do these things. So
You
it happens.
know, honestly, you know what? If I do get in, if, well, excuse me, if I do get asked back, I will absolutely join y'all in a drink. I didn't know what the vibe was, so I didn't want to show up, you know, like with my drink of choice. But absolutely, next time I'll have my spiked coffee, and we'll get sloppy for A Tale of Two Sisters.
Nice. Yeah, I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so my final thoughts, and I've never put that together, but I love that comparison to like the goth kids in the mall saying, "Hey, come join us. Do you want to listen to some music?"
Yeah, do you want to
That's
listen to The Cure?
it's awesome. But I love this film, and I really, really enjoy it on kind of a whole new level now that I have experienced it for the first time in a few years. And just the amount of camp and silliness and fun that this film has. The first film is not a fun film. It's a great film, but it is not what you would consider a fun film. And even though, like you said, Ian, that yes, this is not a film that is for everyone, but if you are a hardcore horror fan, this is one of those ones that is going to make you smile. And it really did. Like, not only was I kind of repulsed in certain scenarios in this movie,
Maggots.
yeah, well, Frank, you're kind of still a fucking pig, you piece of shit. But there are other things in this that just make me laugh out loud. And I'm, regardless of whether I am kind of pulling away or whether I am laughing my ass off, this is a wonderful, wonderful experience. And so I have to give it, it's not as quite as high anymore as the first one, but it's still a 4 out of 5 for me.
Ooh, nice.
4 out of 5 penises attached to the head out of five.
Was that a dick that sucked a head? Was that the thing that was a dick? It was a dick. It was the head of a dick
It
that
was
sucked the head off a guy?
definitely giving like foreskin, like folding over his forehead. I don't know. That's actually my,
I
well,
can't
we
do
weren't given
it.
our,
Can you
yeah.
guys do it?
Oh.
I can't.
All day long, mama.
I mean, I could do it in real life. Thank you. I could make a career. I'm just saying, I can't pretend. Am I doing it?
Oh, I can't pretend either. I never fake it. So.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not. Sorry. Thank God
That
we
is
exposed this.
one curved penis.
www.onlyfans.yitw. The
Mine
boobs are
is
big, but the waist is tiny.
wow. Mine is it's www dot stainmattress.co.uk. Yeah, or what else? www dot come at me Snow White dot edu.
Nice. We did it. We got through Hellraiser 2. We survived another
Yay,
one.
question mark.
And we did put this out on the socials. We got a few responses. So I
Oh.
asked what you guys thought about Hellraiser 2. And friends of the show, the House That Screams Horror podcast, says, I think this is better
Coffee.
than the
Coffee guys.
original, one of the ones that I was talking about. In many ways,
Oh.
the Hellraiser franchise is leagues away from being my favorite franchise, but this movie is a nasty little delight. And yeah, that sums it up pretty good.
I think that's a
Be a nasty
great
little
pull
bitch.
quote.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dark Moon Home Video says, I like it tried for a bigger scope considering how self-contained the first one was. I don't know if that helped or hurt the series as a whole in the long run, but we got some pretty interesting love from it. I mean, that is love or
Yeah,
bodily
true.
fluids. I mean, something. We got something from it.
I mean, I will say that just to give the film a little more flowers, I think that it is very cool that we have essentially three locations, is it? We have the mental hospital, we have Dr. Chouinard's weird home office, and then we also have hell, which is in all of its
Yeah.
strange glory. And we get these giant set pieces, and it definitely is, for better or for worse, it is ambitious, which I really love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This next one kind of cracks me up every time that I read it, but Half Price Horror says,
Hi,
also
guys.
friends of the show, it's the movie you get when vanilla straight people try to make sense of the original.
Oh God. Okay, on that note, I have a like a small story if I can. It's
Yeah,
sort of
go
like
ahead.
I'll wrap it up
Please.
quickly. But so I think I don't know if I mentioned this on air or off air, but I love the Rocky Horror Picture Show. It is one of my favorite films of all time. And I think that it is also a film that is absolutely batshit bonkers crazy and makes zero sense, and that's kind of why it's perfect. And so I was showing it to my partner's best friend and then her like boyfriend, and they'd never seen it for the first time, and they're straight. And so we watch it, and then it ends, and I'm like, "So, what'd you think?" And her boyfriend goes, "I get it. I get this movie." And I'm like, okay, cool. Like you, there's a, this, I'm like, sure. Yep. I'll see. Yep. You're my favorite Transylvanian now. I quote unquote, I get it. Like, okay, cool. Thank you, everyone. Yeah.
You
So yeah, when I think about Hellraiser 1, I'm like, I get it. I get it.
know what I appreciated? The part with the singing. That was nice.
I'm like, Can we say transsexual now? Is that appropriate? I'm like, we're gonna turn the movie off. Like, don't even worry about it.
All right, so next on the list, Disasterina. Hello, and thank you for commenting.
Oh shit! Are you
Hi.
kidding
No,
me? Disasterina.
I
Disasterina. Oh my god, I love
am
you. Kiss, kiss,
the
kiss, kiss, kiss. Oh my god. Hi.
Disasterina. Disasterina says, this is my favorite of the series. And so we hope
That
you. Yes.
tracks. That fully tracks.
Yeah.
I'm like, really? I always pegged Disasterina as more of a subdued Hellraiser one kind of gal. No, I'm like, that absolutely tracks. That makes sense. And I love Disasterina. What an incredible artist.
Oh my God, love you.
They are.
Plums.
I
Disasterina commented on that.
know, I know. Yep, still trying to get them on the show. So,
I'm that Jonah
Disasterina, if
Hill
you're
Gibbs right
listening,
now.
get your ass here.
Oh,
We'll
you know what
talk
I
about a
mean?
film.
Hi. Hello, love.
And
Love you.
finally, last one I'll read is from Yuki Dedinja, who is our latest listener and supporter. And we thank you for listening.
Oh my
And
God. Hi, friend.
they say simply it's fire, and I'll take that.
Agreed.
And
Honestly, no thoughts, just vibes. Just great.
the church said hallelujah, Yuki.
Love it.
All right,
Yeah.
well, that is it for us tonight. But before we get out of here, Ian, we want to give you a chance to plug
Wow.
yourself, and however you.
After watching Hellraiser 2, I think all my holes are sufficiently plugged, I'll tell you.
If you're lucky, no.
Yeah, why don't you just go ahead and open the box and tell the listeners where they can summon you?
Ooh,
Ooh, silky.
well, my little demon darlings. I have such sights to show you. I am at DeVogler on all of my socials. That is DeVoglaer. It is my last name. I am at DeVogler on Instagram, Twitter, or X. Also, you can catch me Wednesdays and Thursdays and also Saturdays and Sundays on Twitch. It's twitch.tv/DeVogler. I stream horror games. I talk a lot of shit like this. I love horror. And yeah. Catch me anywhere where DVDs are being sold in the darkened corners of an alley, and come find me on your stained mattress.
Nice, nice, nice. Love it. All right, Gabby, that is it for us tonight. So until next time,
Do we want to give our socials?
we do want to give our socials because
Can I?
we are a professional podcast and I remember things. So
Yes.
I probably shouldn't even have asked the question. That makes us unprofessional. We can cut that part out. Okay,
I'd
good. Okay,
stay
Gabby. Okay.
it in. All right, Gabby, where can
Thanks,
everybody find us?
Boomer. Hi. Thanks, Boomer. This is Gabby reporting to let you all know, where can you find us? Well, you can find us on Twitter. I'm not fucking calling it X. Fuck you, fucking Elon. Get up. Fuck you. It's Twitter or Instagram at Woods Podcast One. You can email us at podcastinthewoods1@gmail.com. You can find us on Patreon, patreon.com/, what is it? I don't
Woods
remember.
Podcast.
Woods Podcast. Every single dollar that comes into the show goes back into the show so that we can, I don't know, maybe stop getting tipsy while we record and be professional. It's never gonna happen. Thank you. And I don't know, is there anything else?
No, that's it. You covered it all.
Gabby at Woods Podcast or Gabby at podcastinthewoods@gmail.com if you want to email me. I never check it, but you're more than welcome to. And I have it for things. I use it for Cameo, which, by the way, Ian, very personal, and obviously we won't repost it. It was a personal thing, but
Aw.
Boo, thank you so much. For everybody who doesn't know, I got Boomer for Valentine's Day a Cameo from Ian, and it was perfect. You guys go to
Aw.
cameo.com, search for Ian.
Thank you so much for that plug.
EVOGLAER. Okay. Look
That's
for
me.
Ian. All right. And order a cameo for yourself, for your bestie, for your loved ones. Whatever. Who cares? Just do it. I mean, it was so
Aw.
sweet. You were so wonderful. I cried a little bit. I'm not gonna lie. I
Oh,
cry
don't.
a lot.
Your tears are a waste of good suffering, truly. Thank you. Yeah, I love doing the cameos. I am actually having a sale right now on my cameos, and I'll probably send it past Valentine's Day. I love doing them. As y'all may know from this podcast recording, I love to talk. So, hey.
Well, we love talking to you and we want you to come back like sooner rather than later, like immediately, if not sooner. Like,
I would absolutely love that. I've had such a blast. Like I said, I have been listening to the podcast for a long time. So I've just been waiting, like patiently, just sitting. Basically, I feel like I am the, I'm gonna, hi, take away my horror street cred card. I can't remember her name, but the lead antagonist in Audition. I'm basically her. I'm sitting there with my bag on the floor, waiting for the phone to ring. I'm like, oh, I wonder when Boomer and Gabby are gonna send me a message. And so when I got that message, I was like, yay, I can finally vomit into this bowl for my dog person in this bag, and I'm gonna be on the show. So this has been honestly a huge pleasure. I love it. Thank y'all so much. And thank you for getting me to watch Hellraiser 2. Now one of my favorite fucking goopy gore fests ever. I loved it. Awesome.
I fucking love you. Fuck with clenched teeth. I love you. Oh my God. You are everything. Ian, hello,
Oh.
everybody. You heard all of his things. Follow, watch Dragula, watch what he can do
Oh, thank
to give
you.
you all of the television entertainment. Are you, oh, that was the fourth cocktail right there. And for shame. But don't take away from that. Just he can give you everything. Just fucking watch the show. Watch his Twitch. Listen to him. Get out of here. This is Gabby and I know everything. So just fucking do it. Listen. Pay
Thanks,
attention. He's my
Gabe.
life. Ow, ew.
Anytime, Gabriel.
I'm a
Anytime.
person.
You are.
All right, Gabby, say good night.
I mean, do I need to say any more tonight? It's a whole lot of talking. Bye.
All right. Until next time, everyone, stay scurry.